The goal of the Salunas podcast is simple. Take a candid, informed, objective, and often comedic approach to the human condition. In keeping with this, the use of expletives, crude humor, and references to harsh realities are commonplace. If you find any of this to be offensive, please throw your listening device in the trash. If not, enjoy the show.
Of the Salumas podcast. This is Kalu.
This is Chris.
This is Brandon in the back.
And we've got some interesting stuff to talk about today.
Imagine that shit.
I know, right? So I was listening to another podcast on the TED Radio Hour. And one of the things that the speaker was talking about was the minimum requirements for the certain topic she was talking about. So that made me say, hey, I want to take this to another level. And let's just break down the minimum requirements for everything. And so the topic of today is, again, the minimum requirements. So what does it take to get ourselves to a point where we can, whether it's make changes in our lives, to have discussions, to address issues, anything like that, what are the minimum things that are needed to even get there? And so I was thinking about the different discussions that some people have amongst one another. Whether it's talking about race, is the minimum requirement for talking about black issues is that you have to be black? Is the minimum requirement for talking about women's issues that you have to be a woman? I think some of those requirements that we place to be able to have a conversation or to talk about something are largely bullshit. And I think that the key for any requirement is having some kind of empathy, is just being able to see the other side. And so I want us to be able to break something like that down, and I'm going to yield to you, Chris, and get your idea of what your thoughts on the minimum requirements are.
Well, whenever you brought this up to me, and then a number of the things that just came out of your mouth just automatically make me think of the fact that humans generally, as we've said over and over again, are lazy, biologically lazy. In order to stay at homeostasis, we're not going to exert any more energy than we have to. So we end up with these shortcuts, these like linear paths of thinking where we make attributions about cause and effect when there's really this incredibly dynamic even flow and reciprocity between different factors that are occurring simultaneously. Inverse processes can both be transpiring at the same time, because you have, even within your body, you have the excitatory processes, okay. And then you have the opposite of excitatory.
I don't want those processes.
Well, you gotta have
stay fucking lit.
Well,
it's, oh man, that's one. Also, I do need to cut you off really quick.
Go ahead.
Brandon is keeping a running count of how many swear words that we use in the efforts of trying to be better.
And I just remembered the word while he was explaining
good,
it. But
good.
Go ahead.
But in our efforts of trying to be better and fill our content with more good stuff. Not that swear words are bad, because I like saying shit all the time.
I say yes. Lots of terrible shit.
We are allowing we are going to have a contest. And the first listener to guess the amount of cuss words that we used in this episode is going to get a pizza. I don't care where you live. We will find a pizza place near you, and we're going to order a pizza and have you go pick it up.
But look, we're going to be honest with you. Like, we'll work with you, but you can't be mad or unreasonable.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I want a $50 pizzas, yeah. And shit.
If you say mellow mushroom, I'm going to go. No, I'm not doing it.
No, we're not doing that. We ain't down with that uppity bullshit.
Yeah, there's like a $14 minimum here, so don't be a dick.
And we're not fucking with Papa John's either.
No, fuck Papa John's,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, fuck Papa.
Yeah, seriously. All right, I don't know how many we just said right there,
so what
but
counts as a swear word.
He's trying to get us to cuss. I'm not doing it, devil.
We're not falling for it.
You green-eyed devil. Look at you.
But damn, is damn a bad word?
He keeps saying cuss words.
He really does. He's trying to raise the count.
What about ass?
Brandon, stop.
It depends. If you're talking about like livestock, then no. If you're talking about a place that shit comes out of, then abso-fucking-lutely.
We're going to lose a lot of money.
Oh, no. All right. Well, we were talking about, before we got talking about assery and fuckery and whatnot. Those aren't bad words. Those are just to exhibit what we're discussing. Mm-hmm. But excitatory processes occur in the brain. The opposite end is are inhibitory processes. So whenever you have a large issue, a social issue that's going on, and people want to make an attribution in this linear, one-dimensional way, this sweeping, fucking generalized way, and don't make allowances for these simultaneous little, you know, tributaries or streams that are jutting off of the larger issue, then you end up alienating a large portion of the population. And then not only that, you tend to condense your own belief system and you go into this echo chamber.
Yes, that's going to be the key word right there.
But that's absolutely the thing, is whenever you're looking at one of these larger issues, like when we discussed the Kavanaugh case, mm-hmm. you and I tried our fucking damnedest.
I know, it's
hard. Shoot, fiddlesticks! we tried really hard to unpack everything that was associated with it, while maintaining the largest, most mainline element of it, that there's a huge disparity in this country between the public's perception of abuse, sexual assault survivors, and their propensity to want to come forward, those kinds of things. So I really feel like, sincerely, if people could put their pathos to the side just for a moment and even hear out whatever kind of dumb shit that
is cringing as he said that.
Whatever kind of dumb stuff that the opposite end of the spectrum, a cis white male says, I hear out all kinds of nonsense when people are trying to explain their viewpoint, even if it's a toxic viewpoint. And you know what? Generally speaking, when you have somebody honestly discussing their viewpoint, you're able to find at least a kernel of something that you could identify with them on or agree with them on.
Would that count as the minimum requirement to continue that conversation?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I think even before that, I think the minimum requirement, the onus is on the individual for them letting their, you know, putting their fists down and actually being receptive to try and find that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, sifting through a pan of rocks and shit so you can find one little nugget of gold or whatever. You have to be receptive to it. You have to be looking for it and actively searching it out.
That is the very most basic key for having any kind of discussion. That is the most basic requirement that you can have if you're ever going to engage with another person on some other topic. Is you have to open yourself up to have your mind changed or to just learn something. Because you think about it, who wins when you argue or fight with a brick wall? No one. No one wins. So just
the people watching you.
The people watching you. Yeah. Was he over here hitting a brick wall?
Look at him, he's crazy.
World star. Yeah, world star, exactly. But if you are going to jump into a discussion with that mentality, then you're always going to lose, and no one is going to learn anything. I think that is the most basic requirement that you can have to have a conversation like that. But I want to take it into those discussions where people are talking about gender and race issues. Why is it that a lot of us think that you have to be black to talk about black issues, that you have to be white to talk about whatever, that you have to be a female to talk about feminism? Why is it that we keep doing that to ourselves?
Well, I think it very much off the cuff, I think it very much underscores the frustration and anger of the community that's saying that. I think it indicates something. So that should be the first a potential ally or somebody that's part of the other side of the discussion, I think it's going to be your responsibility to acknowledge, okay, this person is genuinely frustrated and angry. And that stuff usually, especially on a macro scale, if you have an entire community that's manifesting this, that stuff doesn't occur in a vacuum. So it is your responsibility to try and search and see the validity and where that really is sincerely coming from, as opposed to this adversarial or dismissive shit, which is overwhelmingly what happens is people are dismissive. They're like, instead of acknowledging or role-taking, instead of being like, okay, well, I can put myself aside and see where you're coming from, it turns into this tit-for-tat type stuff.
Okay. What I think of, or what I want to ask also about, are those situations where people take extreme measures to meet the requirements to be able to have a conversation. And right there, I think about people like Rachel Dolezal. So I don't know if any of you guys have heard of her, but she was the white woman who, she did some extreme tanning and some skin browning and did all sorts of stuff with
her hair. Medication that increases the melanin in your skin.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, there's certain medications you can take that will make you more prone to develop darker melanin. And
stuff.
Yeah.
So she started doing all this stuff, and so a lot of people just thought she was biracial or just light-skinned, and so she was the head of, like, NAACP for, I think it was in Washington State or something
like
that.
That's why, as a Melungeon man, if I saw a Dolezal, I'd be like, shut up.
But you think of that, and you're like, man, she went through all that to meet the requirements to be able to properly engage people on a discussion. And I also think of, it makes me think of some of the guys who are also feminists, and I consider myself and consider you as one. We're just a little bit different, you know? But I think of the guys that will go and start bashing dudes to sort of fit in. That's what it comes across in my head.
Oh, yeah, like...
Maybe
like,
their intentions are fine, but it's like some of the things that they do to be able to fit in, it's like, I don't feel like that needs to be a requirement. And some of the people that accept them in those groups, they accept them even more because they meet that requirement. I don't think that to be a feminist, the requirement is that you have to hate dudes.
And it's counterproductive because it sets an unfair precedent for people reaching outside chamber as well. Because then the litmus test for what is normative behavior for an ally is this incredibly condensed, polar end of the spectrum type shit.
And that's why I also think that if we are going to have a good discussion on race, you don't have to be a white person that says, I hate cops or I hate white people or anything like that. You just have to want to learn.
Right.
That's all that it is. But why do we keep falling into this thing where a lot of us have to bond on some negative shit so we can actually learn about something?
Well, the thing is that what you're saying is absolutely 100% the case. And the problem with that is that amongst those groups of people, and I don't want to single out like straight cisgender white males or whatever, but there's an air of willful ignorance. It's, look, I have anecdotal evidence to support my viewpoint, and then regarding my black friends or my brown friends or my female friends or my wife does this, and it's my wife's opinion. Those are always enormous red flags, and it a lot of times comes from well-intentioned people. So you simultaneously have individuals who are looking for answers who are on the same level of ignorance, and ignorance isn't a pejorative in this context. Sure. You have folks that are receptive and open, and then you have people that are present basically at the same level socially that aren't necessarily looking for answers, that like things the way they are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where it comes from, is this willful ignorance, this well-intentioned willful ignorance comes from a place of privilege. And they don't understand it, and everyone around them, for the most part, is in a place of privilege. Even the anecdotes, you know, again, their black friend, their wife, whatever. You know, my wife, she likes to stay at home and cook and clean. And that's all well and good, motherfucker, but you can't generalize about the totality of the rest of the population based upon the dynamic that you and your wife have. And me being the egalitarian type person, where I don't feel like it's fair Unless the arrangement just makes sense in that way,
yeah.
I think everything should be fucking half and half. Like, a potential mate or whatever with me is going to be somebody who has their own life, wants to pursue something else professionally, whatever, and we go halvesies on things. But that's just me. That's my point of view on the thing, and I don't expect everybody to think, oh, that's the perfect paradigm. That's the only paradigm that works, yeah. Is half and half. It's not, man. Different strokes for different folks. But again, I'm going off on a tangent. The bottom line is that we have to, everybody that's listening to this stuff, if you're approaching a discussion, you can never be looking to reaffirm what you already believe or want to be right. You can't.
Very true.
If anything, you have to be actively searching for flaws in your own current belief system.
Yeah.
If you're not doing that, it doesn't matter how well-intentioned or how kind and charming or generally non-problematic you are, you're dead in the fucking water.
So there was a new, not even a new thing, but there was something else that was said on the TED Radio Hour that I was listening to. And the girl was talking about communities and how we should do better about growing them. And she made some commentary on the way that the city that she lived in was handling like public housing and all that. And she was saying that the minimum requirement for proper housing, because to go backwards a little bit, they said, we want to build communities where dreams can come true. And she responded with, well, the minimum requirement for us to be able to have dreams is to be able to have a safe place to just to sleep in, to lay your head down and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's hierarchy of needs it's type shit.
It's definitely hierarchy of needs. And so when I think of different social change and stuff like that, what do you believe are the minimum requirements for social change? I think that the very first one that you need is the admittance that your system is jacked up.
Absolutely. Well, it's the same. And to be quite honest with you, there are a lot of correlations with what we're trying to unpack here and the dealing with addiction and things like that. The first step is admitting
you have a problem.
Yeah, man. I think all of these ideas are interrelated. You know, we had the episode when we were talking about chasing profundity and addiction and how we're all addicted to something, and that addictive behavior isn't just, it doesn't manifest itself as just one thing. But yeah, I think with all things, it's almost like sacred geometry. You're going to see a recurring theme with regard to these social issues and things. But yeah, acknowledging that there is a problem is the first element to it.
Or maybe not. Do you think it's more about there being a problem or just acknowledging that it can be better?
That's a beautiful point. And I don't think that those are necessarily mutually exclusive ideas. I think that those things have to go, those two devices have to be working simultaneously. Because you can remedy a social issue and then not rest on your haunches. Just like with everything else that we talk about, you can achieve a goal. You can achieve that 355-pound bench press, but that doesn't mean that once you hit the 355 that you're not going to still pursue a little bit of incremental increase, streamlining.
So when I think of something like public housing or the way that that whole system is set up, I think what the government did kind of do is rest on their haunches. You know, after, I think it's, was it the New Deal? Was that around the time where a lot of that stuff started popping up? I could be wrong historically.
Were you talking about like buskers and shit like that?
No, I'm just saying like whenever they said, hey, let's start making houses where instead of growing neighborhoods and stuff like that, it's just these really tall buildings and everyone, like you're packing a bunch of people in there and we're saying, hey, we're giving you a house. That's public housing or whatever. And I think that they felt like heroes at the time that we did it, we solved this problem or whatever, but they didn't address the fact that there's still more work that needs to be done. It's almost like they, whenever they came up with the public housing, they were like, okay, we have met the minimum requirement, we did everything that we need to do right here, and then we just kind of left it. And then we saw over years, shit just started falling apart.
Well, that's an excellent point, and I think that also underscores that those two devices are have to be going on at the same time, is identifying a problem, attempting or actively working towards remedying the issue, or maybe even having met the minimum requirement, so to speak, but then also knowing that things can always be better. Because I'll be honest with you, with a untethered, almost predatory economic system, if you reach this point where it's saying, you know, we've met the minimum requirement, you're essentially opening the door for people to take advantage of where they're at.
Yes.
If the situation warrants improvement, or there is capital associated with it that could be invested into it, there are going to be people around who are going to actively kind of rally around the idea of maintaining things the way they are, and then they kind of benefit from whatever extra fat gets yes. developed around it. So I think that that's almost a second step once you're implementing the two things, acknowledging a problem that you're actively working to remedy and trying to always improve regardless. The next step is to identify if anybody has a vested interest in it not succeeding or it not making progress.
Yeah. So you made a really good point about benefiting off of the extra fat off of something. And so it makes me think of affirmative action. And whenever that came to be, especially when it came to employment and stuff, maybe some people said, okay, let's fit our minimum requirement to get this minority or this discriminated group or anything like this, let's get them in here and hired. And so we no longer have to have the discussion about inequality or whatever you want to call it. And then they can just move on with whatever they need to do.
It's a
feather in your cap. Mm-hmm. And as long as that feather is there, you can reap the benefits of everything else. You never have to worry about it.
Yeah.
That's why it makes me question a little bit about things like affirmative action, because I think that, because we didn't take that extra step to get better or to improve upon it. Or maybe, I know that steps have been taken, better steps have been taken, but I think that we could have been doing a whole lot more.
Well, I think what ends up transpiring, if you don't have this proactive element where it's always seeking to improve a social program or any endeavor, if you don't have that, then you are inevitably going to reach a point where you essentially are going to run into a negative fallout, I guess, that for lack of a better term, yeah. associated with whatever the issue yeah. is.
You know, I think of when some places have hired females. You know, they say, okay, we've hired a woman, or we've hired a black person, or we've hired a Mexican, or whatever you want to call it, but they won't pay them equally, right? Now, there's many, many views with equal pay and all that stuff, but because they met that minimum requirement, they just said, hey, we've fit someone in here that fits this skin tone or meets this certain criteria, we'll address the other issue later on down the lines. And everyone just kind of rests on the haunches of, hey, we got someone in there that represents our community. But then the next issue, you get comfortable with...
It's pacification.
Yeah, that's what I was moving on to, is that it seems like a form of pacification, because it's like, okay, the pacifier is in, it's going to be this way for this many years, and then when there's something else that they can, they would be unhappy about, then they have to enact another form of pacification.
With a static system, if something is altered about it, if there's not the proactive element, with a static system, the only possibility that you have is downward mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Like from that baseline, the system can crumble from the minimum requirement that was met. You know, it's not going to exceed X level. This is where we're supposed to be. So if something falters, the only place it can go is down. Mm-hmm. And then hypothetically, it fluctuates back up and then down and then up and then down. And that creates the illusion of progress. It's just like in our own lives where we create these mini crises for ourselves. Yes. And then we remedy the little crises, and we have the illusion that we're getting things accomplished, but we're not.
Yes. You're just putting out your own fires and staying exactly where you are.
That's exactly what I was going to move to right after this talk, was meeting the minimum requirements for us as individuals to feel better about our lives. I think that a lot of us create these little issues, these little problems, these little fires, and we just put them out because it does give us the illusion that we're actually getting
chasing windmills and shit.
It gives us the illusion that we're getting shit done in our lives, when in reality we aren't solving the much larger issues that are going on. You know, it's really crazy thinking about just how much conflict a lot of us could just avoid by knocking out the bigger issues. But instead, it's just a lot easier for us to put out the small fires in our life and forget about the large fucking blaze going on in the background. And that stuff is very, very scary, because there are a lot of people that I know, and even I have been guilty of that, of creating and putting out small little fires in my life to think that I'm actually doing something good.
And you know, to be honest with you, a lot of the stuff that we encounter as human beings that we accept as normal in society probably in no way correlate with our biological and psychological well-being. It's not a normal state of existence for the type of organism that we are, but we accept it as normal because it's, you know, this signpost in society at large.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that falter, and I hate to always go back to it, but I feel like it's one of the most fundamental things that we can control, and I think it translates so well to other stuff, is letting your body fall apart. If you have any measure of control over, you know, your physical health. Now, there are people that have conditions that prevent them from doing X, Y, and Z, but if you aren't taking active steps to eat healthier, or, you know, stay eating healthy and exercise and take care of your body, then everything else at some point is going to crumble in one way, shape, form, or fashion. It's like the United States talking about, you know, really our number one export is culture.
Yes.
But that is an amazing thing, that everybody around the world thinks, you know, American music and television and stuff like that is incredible. And it is. It's amazing. Our artistic ability, especially in, you know, contemporary society, as opposed to, you know, back in antiquity, you know, we can't fuck with them on that. But but meanwhile, our infrastructure is crumbling.
Yes.
And that's the macro version of us letting our bodies fall apart while we're struggling to pay our mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if you're not taking active steps to take care of this vessel that you're very temporarily riding around in, everything, you're just waiting for something to transpire.
And it's really funny just thinking about it, because something, and I think the reason why it's so hard for many of us to understand that is because the ROI is not, there isn't a huge short-term ROI. It's all long-term, especially when we're talking about taking care of your body. You do not ever see the changes the next day. You can see changes if you clean your room, or if you clean your house, mm-hmm. or if you break up with that toxic relationship, or end that toxic relationship, or whatever you want to call it. But really taking care of your body, you're not going to see that until later on. You may not see it, you just may notice that you live past 55, you know? And so that's why it's really hard to do stuff like that. And I think that that's why it's hard for us to make the large changes, and why we're constantly in this race to just meet minimum requirements. I think of, excuse me, I think of different relationships, and I see how many people in these relationships are just meeting the minimum requirements. Hell, I can say that early on, especially of my marriage, where I was just meeting the minimum requirements. Make sure shit gets paid for, you know, make sure no one worries about this, that, or the other. But then you see that other stuff starts to fall apart because you're constantly trying to meet the minimum requirements. And you're thinking in your head that's all you need to do. And then you forget that when it's not just you anymore, you have to reshuffle those requirements there. And one of the best things that I did, and this is, she may kill my ass for this or something like this, but my wife, she had us both fill out, and this was just a couple weeks ago, fill out this this emotional needs form, this packet. This fucker was like 19 pages, I think.
I'd have been so mad.
I was just like, oh my God. So it was really interesting going through and writing all these things down where it's like, man, it's like, how would you rate all this stuff? And it's like, oh, wow. So I was literally, I didn't get done with it until like 2:30 in the morning because I was just analyzing everything. Like, how important is this to me? And when we both sat down and we read these things to each other and read our responses and what we ranked differently, it was really crazy seeing what each of our minimum requirements were.
It sounds so exhausting.
I mean, it was difficult at first, but it's just like, we have to be able to let our guard down and actually talk about our minimum requirements.
Vulnerability.
Yes.
Vulnerability. Say when you're vulnerable. And you know what? I think you bring up a good point. I think allowing yourself to be fucking vulnerable is probably the very first rudimentary step for anything.
Yes.
Any amount of learning.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I noticed, and when I was talking to her about it, I said, I do all this stuff in our marriage, but all I ever want you to be is proud of me. That's it. And it's really crazy thinking about that. Like, looking at all the stuff that I wrote down and all this, it was like, I just want someone to be proud of me. And so I think that if we start to look at our requirements for all sorts of stuff, I think that we'll realize that there is a simpler requirement that we all sort of need that we just tend to overcomplicate the hell out of.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? They're pets, man.
Yeah.
We personify them. We give them a place to stay. We parade them around in front of other people. We think it's cute. Half the time, all these monkeys that we have on our backs and all this shit that we create for ourselves, it becomes a little eccentricity or detail of one's life when in reality, man, it's toxic as hell. Whereas I'm over here trying to simplify my shit as much as possible, and I've been doing way better.
Yeah.
Incredible here lately, for me at least. And I cannot tell you the amount of contentment that I've received as a result of just simplifying things and telling people no. That's been a big thing for me. It's just being like, no, man, I think I'm good. I'm just going to chill at the crib.
That was me this weekend.
Look, and that's why I couldn't even hate, because everybody, there was a whole bunch. We're going to go on a little tangent here, but we watched the Khabib Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor fights last night, and there was like a dozen of the most rowdy bitch-ass motherfuckers over at our friend EL's house. And we thought maybe we would shoot some content because there were going to be some very interesting, outspoken characters there. But Kalu deals with the public all the time, and he has to be a nice guy. Like, when I deal with the public, I just need to be professional. But I don't necessarily have to be nice, per se. Sometimes I have to be kind of the a-hole, tough love guy. So Kalu, I'm sure, gets exhausted. And when I was like, yo, you gonna come over and watch these fights and stuff? And then I found out that he was gonna have a little fortress of solitude and be at the crib throwing lunch meat in there and letting it slap his naked belly and then just slurping it off. I was like, I can't even hate on you.
Yep.
You do your thing.
Yep. Gotta have that. And it's really interesting. As I've gotten older, I think that time for myself and by myself is a minimum requirement for my survival.
Fuck yeah, it is.
It is, and I'm having that awareness has made it a lot easier for me to just say no to going places or no to hanging out or anything like that, and I'm completely fine.
Well, and do you find, which I have found, maybe people just, it coincides with people's perception of me, but I find if I'm just honest, just upfront, like, nah, fuck that shit, I don't want to do that. People generally are like, well, you know, that's not the answer I wanted, but I appreciate you being upfront about that.
I wish I could be the way. I usually would be like, huh, you know, that sounds like cool.
Well,
cool
he's like that with me.
I might give you a call, you know.
Kalu's like that with me. So I don't know if how he is with other people, but he'll be like, no, I don't want to deal with that fuck shit. No.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, I'm just like, no. And if anyone's just like, if you are like, why not? I'm just like, just who I am as a person.
Yeah, you're like, fuck you, bitch, you little short motherfucker. I don't really care.
Yep. So that's pretty much, you know, it depends on the crowd that I'm with. I wish that I had a lot of times my wife's resolve to just say no to shit, because if people say like, hey, there's something going on, she'd just be like, nah. I'm not going.
Look, and I feel it.
I wish I could be that way. I'm just not. I got to do the whole like, yeah, I'll stop by. You know, I'll stop by.
Dude, 10 minutes. Look. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That sounds great. How are the kids?
Yeah. How are the kids?
Well, I will tell you, there's something very cathartic and liberating about not even politely saying no, just straight up being like,
nah.
Hell no, I don't want to do that shit. Like, shockingly, like, they're like,
whoa,
I shouldn't even have asked him.
How foolish of me.
My apologies for asking you. That's a fun thing for me to do.
Yeah.
But there's probably a lot of people that hate me.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that dislike you a lot.
Fuck.
So, what would you say are some of the minimum requirements for you to survive as Chris?
Like you said, solitude, me being able to just exist in peace, is an enormous thing. Simplicity, because if I have too many things going on, if I try to do too much different stuff, I can do it all at once, and I will do it all at once, and I'll do really well at it, but then I'll get to a point where I don't even want to say it's stress. It's almost like boredom.
Sure.
Like the whole, like, I've got a finite number of fucks to give. One big thing might happen. Like, it could be, it can't even got to be a big thing. This is as silly as I am. Like, I could be doing all kind of 80 different things, and then a dope-ass video game that I really like drop, and then I'm like, no, I think I'm going to just play this video game instead of...
Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out. I've been smacked out on it. Won't lie.
Bro, look, I used to do all kinds of, like, mad scientist shit. Like, I would breed Siamese fighting fish... and, like, create different colors and different... like, just by mixing and matching. And let me tell you, I don't know how many of you assholes have bred Siamese fighting fish, but it is not the same as just regular-ass fish. You can't just throw them in a tank and they fuck and there's babies everywhere. Yeah, you gotta time it just right. They have to have the right appropriate conditions. Males create a nest. Females lay the eggs. The males gather the eggs up in their mouth, put them up into the bubble nest, guard the bubble nest. Then you got to take the male out at the exact right time, and then you got to get the babies out at the right time, and then you got to... It is the most...
Why would you do that? That sounds... That's way too much.
Because I'm like, there's some kind of dope shit wrong with me.
You're trying to make a fish master race or something like that.
Hey, I did, man.
Species.
But then when Destiny came out, I just quit.
You like, let him die.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I want this new battle rifle.
Yes.
Fuck those fish. Overwhelmingly, I just gave them away as gifts and stuff like that until I just had my original ones. But I was doing that. You know, I always do the gym thing.
Yes.
I mean, guns. I like guns.
Those are your requirements?
No, but what I'm saying is those are things, whenever I have too many balls up in the air, whenever I get too interested in too many things and try and keep them as pets all simultaneously, then I end up getting to a point where I just have to purge everything. So simplicity, maintaining a state of simplicity, because I know that that is untenable for the long term. So solitude, simplicity.
I'd say for me, freedom of choice. I don't like having guns held to my head to have to do stuff. I like to be able to handle things on my own terms. And largely, I do. I'm okay with like deadlines and stuff like that, but not anything like, hey, this has to be done tomorrow kind of stuff. I hate a lot of that. But I like when people, or if I know that I'm supposed to do something and it's not like something immediate and emergency related, right? I hate last minute stuff. That's a requirement for me. I hate last minute.
And that's my fucking jam.
Is it?
Yeah, because like, and it coincides with the whole you know, procrastination, turn everything in, last minute thing.
Yes.
There's an excitement, dire need element to it, which stresses you the fuck out. Makes me feel alive. And I know it's screwed up, but that coincides with like what I do professionally as well. It's like I feel like I really excel whenever the rubber hits the road. Whenever a crisis is going on, I you know, lock in and we're going to try and figure out how we remedy this.
Yeah.
And then once it's at least stabilized, I won't say fixed, once it's stabilized, it feels good, man.
Yeah.
It feels really good. I'm more of a crisis kind of person. But also, I'm learning to separate that. I get plenty of it professionally, so I try to create as little of it personally. Like, I'm low stress, low drama, and to the point where people take it personally.
They think you don't care.
Yeah, they take it personally, but I'm just really an aloof, very particular individual about how I allocate my time.
Sure. Brandon, what are your minimum requirements for Brandon to be Brandon happily?
I enjoy just being able to go for a bike ride every now and then.
Just a little bit of a release is yours?
To escape.
Yeah. Okay, so an escape is your minimum requirement.
Yes.
Has it always been like that, or is that something that's kind of grown as you've gotten older?
I've sort of grown into it.
You used to kill neighborhood pets, though, didn't
you? That's what I thought you would do.
No. I kick chickens.
I kick chickens. That's fine, because I don't consider chickens as pets.
No, those are snacks.
They're snacks is what they are. They're tenders. So.
Two bags of wings.
Seriously. So tell us more about your requirements. Yeah, you said that you need an escape. What else do you need?
Like you guys said, just some time to yourself to be able to do you and be yourself without, you know, being criticized by other people or...
I got you.
People making fun of you, you know.
He's looking at Chris as he says people making fun of you.
And not in front of Chris.
I also think that as we get older, we also have financial requirements. I think that we have to... Everything just has a cost.
Well, and that's part of the simplicity thing, too.
You got to be somewhat prepared. I would rather be... it's just like we've said earlier, you can either be ready or you can get ready. I don't like getting ready financially for shit. If I can help it, I would rather be ready. And that is a requirement that I'm constantly working on. But you just never know. You never know when stuff can happen. And I think that is a double-edged sword. Because if you spend a lot of your time just being ready for some awful or big purchase or something like that to happen, you do end up robbing yourself of experience.
Doomsday prepping type shit.
Exactly.
It is. It's just it's in a different direction or to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
But that kind of that whole device is one thing.
Yeah.
I feel.
And
like.
I think that it also comes from the fact that I grew up extremely poor, and so having any kind of money, I'm just like, I not really tend to hoard it, but I just kind of think that I should always be ready for some shit that's gonna happen. Or some moment where I can't work or something like that. And then I know that we're prepared. But I also know that I'm robbing myself of valuable experiences by just hoarding.
Yeah, like we'll go to restaurants and Kahlua would be like, oh, I'll just have a couple of ketchup packets.
Yeah, a little bit of ketchup and some spare lettuce if you have it.
Do you have any spare lettuce? And also, could you just bring me like 6 lemons and some sugar?
And some sugar. They're like, sir, we have lemonade here. But it's like, but it's $1.70.
I didn't ask for fucking lemonade.
Oh, man. We did do that, man. When we were younger and we'd go get food, my mom would be like, oh, I need 78 lemons, please. She's over there. We're at the restaurant. She's just squeezing shit, adding sugar, mixing. It's like, this is fucking
See,
awesome.
I did that shit, too, but it was just because I wasn't allowed to have, like, sugar and stuff when I was a little kid.
You know what? They always did that to white kids and shit like that.
Well, I was Jehovah's Witness gypsy, so I was eating carob and things like that.
Oh.
It didn't make no sense.
It was always so weird when I would have a neighbor come over and they're like, my mom says I can't have Coke. And I was just like, what?
Oh, that would never... No, it wasn't like that, because I'd come over to your house and I'd be like, yo, what a gummy bear is
What a gummy bear is.
Because we had a hospital up from... It was, like, a couple blocks up from where... my mom's house is, And whenever my parents were gone, my sisters, one of them would coerce the other one into riding her bicycle up to the hospital to their little, like, cantina or whatever.
Yeah.
And the bitch would come back with Twinkies and Swiss cake rolls and Cokes and shit. And I wouldn't, but, like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. But them hoes knew they had to cut me in. Or I was dropping dimes on every goddamn body.
It's like I'm snitching on everyone.
Yeah, but I'm in my room with one Twinkie just wasted.
Just that sugar crash.
Yeah, right, with my bowl cut and Hannah Anderson striped pajamas on.
Oh, my God. I would kill to see a bowl cut, Chris. I'll slap a taste at you just for even having that.
Hey, you should. Hey, it was fly, though. You would have been like, oh, because that's... You know, I just looked a little different. My hair hadn't curled up yet. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
It got nappy and then it's getting straight again.
Huh. Mm. Who knows? Who knows?
I don't know.
So, all right. I think we've gone in pretty good length on just minimum requirements. What kind of message could we leave people with? Yes, I believe that everything in life has a minimum requirement. I also think that as you get older and start to develop, your minimum requirements are going to change. And I think you're going to have, you may have a lot more minimum requirements because you're juggling a bunch of things. And then also when you get into a relationship, part of making sure that that relationship is stable is understanding that that in itself has its own minimum requirements. And sometimes those may come in conflict with what yours are. And so it's on you to try and figure out how to make both of those things work, or just make one of them work and be miserable or be happy, whichever one. I also think that when you want to engage in conversations with other people, especially if it's something that you don't know about or may not fully understand, that moment in itself has minimum requirements. And I think the very key requirement there is that you have to have a willingness to want to be taught something.
Yeah.
That is a major, major, major thing. I think on the societal level, the minimum requirement for change is knowing or at least believing that it can happen.
Well, and let's not lie to ourselves. Like, you know, the idea of selfless discourse or whatever, inherently, almost invariably, any interaction is going to have some selfish element to it.
Yes.
But if you frame it up in terms of when you are trying to have an objective conversation for someone, that the objective there for you, you don't even look at it as this person wants something from me. Start with saying the objective for you is for you to alter your viewpoint for the better.
Yes.
And that means the acknowledgement of my shit isn't perfect. You have to say, I know for a fact that everything that I think is not 100% steeped in the truth or a larger truth for another group of individuals that I'm not privy to or something like that. That initial acknowledgement is going to facilitate a lot more, or it should facilitate a lot more willingness on the part of the other individual as well. And that's the problem as well, is that just because one side is willing to
doesn't mean the other.
Yeah,
that's,
man,
why I brought up talking with a wall.
Yeah, you can't.
No one wins on that.
You can't control it. The only person you can control is yourself.
Yes.
And so if you start looking at it in terms of what does this person want from me, instead of, okay, my objective here is to do better, to find out where I might be lacking as far as perspective is concerned.
Mm-hmm. I think also part of doing better is having the recognition or understanding or whatever you want to call it, that the conversation may not go anywhere. And sometimes your best course of action is to eject. Because there have been times where I have gone onto Facebook or something and I'll say something on a topic and I know, and someone would respond, and I know that they are the brick wall at this point. That they are not talking to me because they want to have a discussion. They just want to bitch. Or they just want to troll or anything.
Yeah.
And you have to know that if you're not going to get anywhere in that, if you can have the awareness that you can see when that's not going to work. And sometimes you just have to let that thing go.
And you know what? Something else that I do that's a little bizarre is I will initially attempt to have the rational discussion, which is more like an argument on Facebook, but present facts and logic and type out, you know, a reasonably sized paragraph in response to what somebody said. But once they start trolling, if I get the wild hair to do so, I will start trolling right back.
And nothing works. Nothing helps. Nothing gets solved. Also, Chris's mic just fell. It was really weird. So yeah, he's trying to piece that. Just hold it while we...
I'm going to just hold this microphone real quick.
Yeah.
But, no, I swear to God, it's happened a couple of times where people, it seems like, where their only objective is to troll. If you're willing to go toe-to-toe with them with that kind of, I don't know, chaotic, not giving a fuck, let's just go at it for a minute, and you sift through it, dude, on the other end of the troll, there's a human being, too, and it's weird. Sometimes that person at the end of that you reciprocally trolling type shit is going to be like, you know what? You're not so bad.
Yeah, but I just don't think that we have to be throwing haymakers at each other.
Oh, I agree.
Just to be able to get somewhere.
I agree. And that's obviously just kind of a exception to the rule type thing.
Sure.
But I'm so belligerent and I, you know, tend to get into these discussions or arguments with people on Facebook. I've seen it happen a few times now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we've left you guys with a pretty decent message here about just minimum requirements. Again, everything in life is going to have minimum requirements. It's on you to understand what those are. And it's on you to make the choice on whether or not you're going to try and meet them or not. If you don't want to, that's completely up to you. But there are consequences for not meeting the minimum requirements for things in life. So do we have any shameless shout-outs or anything like that before we kill it?
What do you think, Brandon?
Well, there's always Silk and Suds.
Of course, of course.
Somewhat taking a break, but, you know.
Why?
Working, paying bills, you know.
Stop being adults. Stop. It's not normal.
I know.
Following your dream is no, that's normal.
Mm-hmm. You want me to teach you how to breed Tommy's fighting fish?
God. You know what? I think it would be interesting to have both her and Sarah on, just like to check up, because now that she has a job, things are obviously going to be different.
Yeah,
I know that she said.
Bank. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you remember on our Makers episode, she had said this is sort of filling in a gap, right? The work that she's doing. I wonder if she's still going to have that same passion for the stuff that she was doing, making the bath bomb. So that I think that something like that could be a pretty interesting episode, and then. Of course, we always check up with our girl, Sarah, and see how she's doing and making sure that she's still crushing it out there with a lot of her work.
Yeah. We got...
Tyler.
Tyler just got his invite to...
was it World's Strongest Man?
World's Strongest Man.
Good God.
And let's see...
Tomorrow, I believe from 5 to 7, if any of you listeners are in the Bowling Green, Kentucky area... Ryan Hines, CEO _ Oxology Labs, is holding a event at our gym, and is going to be giving out samples of his pre-workout. So I'm going to assume that it's going to look like probably a Spartan training camp at BAC.
Yeah.
And people are going to be going ham in there. People are going to be going really ham.
Ham.
That does sound good.
Hell yeah. Well, let's get some ham after.
I don't want to. Elizabeth made lasagna, so I'm pretty pumped about
ham
that.
And lasagna.
That's disgusting. That's real gross.
Whatever. This from the man, he takes pride in the fact that he'll eat like 15-day-old leftovers from the fridge.
Don't give a fuck.
And then it's when he wonder why he got the mud butt all the time.
Speaking of mud butt, so this is real funny. I
like where this is going.
Yeah, so I ate, I took some habanero peppers I grew out of my garden. This happened maybe a week or two ago. And I put them in some chili that my wife made, and...
Did you tell her?
Huh? No, I put them in my bowl.
Oh, okay.
And so I used a habanero, a red pepper, it was a sweet red pepper, you know, but I had a lot of habaneros in there, and it didn't bother me at all, right? Because those aren't that hot to me.
No,
I've had much hotter,
yeah,
you know?
Compared to, like, the...
Oh, I had serranos in there, too.
Serranos
And serranos are still good. It's a good heat. I think the habaneros have a better taste, but I put both of those in my chili and ate it. And my stomach just, it just was feeling terrible. It was just feeling bad. But it wasn't like burning on fire or anything like that, right? So before I went to bed, I drank some milk of magnesium, right? Because I was just like, this is just not good. This is not settling right. I was so, I went to sleep, right? And my stomach was feeling horrible because it just felt like everything was burning inside of it, right? But nothing was burning on my throat. Nothing was burning my mouth. It was a good heat. That morning,
you was praying to Jehovah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, every time that your little doo-doo hole opened up, it was flame shut out. Yeah, it's awful. It is absolutely. Oh. And listen, I'm a huge fan of spicy food.
Yeah.
Enormous fan of it. But as I've gotten older, for whatever reason,
you're just like, why am
it's
I doing
way
this?
Hotter coming out than it was going in. And I'm like, my God. I don't want to do it. But to be fair, I eat a lot of really rare meat. And so I'm like, periodically, I need to just eat. I need to mace my innards.
You just need to mace your innards.
I just need to fucking pepper spray my insides just in case there's some worms in there.
This just, it was crazy. Like, I've never had chills while taking a shit, man. It was so bad, dude.
Oh, Lord. Had the chills.
Yeah, I'm just like praying. Just like, God, if this is it, like, I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I know. I've been talking too much shit on the podcast.
Saying everything wrong. But yeah, it was crazy. But I tell you, afterwards, I felt like a million bucks. I just felt so light. Easily lost like 4 or 5 pounds. It was just, literally just peeing out of my ass. It was the worst I've ever seen.
Oh, it was hot snakes. Yeah, hot snakes.
Yeah, dude, those bubble guts from hell. I remember just telling my wife about it, just like, man.
Well, I've been reading.
This milk of magnesium stuff is crazy. Look, I've never had it before.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, y'all hear his words and heed his caution, because you know what? Hot Cheetos are out here killing people too, apparently. And I ain't got no problem with hot Cheetos.
I love hot Cheetos.
Yeah, but
man,
y'all be careful. Yes. You'll end up with the hot snakes.
The hot snakes. All right, guys.
That's my jam.
Oh, okay. That's my
podcast.
Jam. There we go. We still have to get fucking time to get on there, man. I feel like a scumbag.
You are.
I'm really sorry.
You're like, a huge
scumbag. It's just stuff just keeps happening, I swear. But we'll get on there eventually. We got a list of people and list of guests that we want to have on this podcast. But thankfully, it's 4:45 now, and I know that my Eagles are playing, and we are playing against the Vikings, and I'm really scared to see the score, because if it's not favorable to me,
then we're gonna have to fight Kalu.
Yeah, I'm gonna be really unhappy.
Other than that, I mean, we got
Calvin. Oh, we're getting our salads just destroyed. We're getting stomped on right now.
You're
so
getting your salads
stomped.
Stomped.
Yeah, 17
not
to
tossed,
3.
Not lovingly tossed. They're getting like mud holes stomped. In
yeah,
their
we're
asses.
Getting our asses kicked. So. Thankfully I'm not watching that game right now, but I'm sure some people are just being trash bags and talking shit to me, so it's gonna be a real fun time. And really excited to hate this coming week if we lose.
God damn it, the Bengals beat us.
Did they really?
Yeah, two of the teams that I was like absolutely adamant
like
that I needed to
beat us. Yeah.
Yeah, I needed to beat the Patriots, cause fuck the Patriots.
Yeah.
And I ain't got nothing against the Bengals, but y'all need to fucking beat them, dog. Come on, Dolphins. Y'all started 3-0.
Yeah, I'm. I think this is the panic time for the Eagles. So, anyway, whatever. All right, guys. Appreciate you jumping on and listening to us. I hope that you found some value in what all we were saying. Again, make sure that you're meeting the minimum requirements to get anywhere in life. If you guys have any questions, comments, or whatever, follow us at The Saloomist on Instagram, or follow The Saloomist on Facebook, or hit up our website, www.thesaloomist.com. Love you guys. Oh, we are finally at 2,000. Boom shakalaka. We got to do a 2,000 listener dance.
Damn.
Boom shakalaka. Boom shakalaka.
Look, Brandon is killing
it. He is shake dancing.
I swear to God.
All right, guys. We are out.
Peace.